Good to see you come out to join us this morning in our worship service at the Boone's Mill Church. And we certainly are glad for all of you that are here, for our church family, for our friends, for our visitors. We say welcome. You know, it's now been 6 months since our church services were interrupted by the coronavirus. And we canceled some of the services early on, and then we began to have the drive-in services. And we've had a mix since that period of time. But our purpose was to try to keep everyone as safe as possible. And so that's been going on for 6 months. It's a long time. And it's going to be for a while longer. I just want to thank you, all of you, for your continued support and cooperation as we patiently wait and practice good safety measures, and as we pray together for a vaccine and we pray for safe treatment of this disease. Thank you for your continuing to support the church and to be a part of the concerns as we serve the community here in the name of Jesus Christ. I just commend you for the way that you have conducted yourself. I appreciate you. I pray for you every day, and I'm asking God's blessings to be upon you and upon us. Well, today is week 9 of our sermon series concerning the truth. We have only one more week left. We will conclude this series next Sunday. Now, during this series of sermons, we have been emphasizing how crucial it is to know what's the truth. There is so much confusion in what to believe in the world today. That's why God gave us these 10 truths for living many, many years ago. They're called the Ten Commandments. And the overall intent of God giving these commandments, these Ten Commandments, is to teach us truth. To teach us how to show love. And these commandments that we've been looking at, they show us how to love God and how to love others. Today we're going to look at the 9th commandment and how it will teach us truth. How it will teach us how to show love. The message today is entitled, Telling the Truth. So here's truth number 9 in our series. We just read it from Exodus 20:16. You shall not bear false witness. You know, sometime back, Time Magazine did a cover story called Lying, Everybody's Doing It. And it starts off like this. Lies, lies, lies. The current political campaign is erupting into a series of charges and countercharges of dishonesty and deception, all of which raises the question, is anyone around here telling the truth? So let me ask you a personal question. When you hear reports today about the coronavirus, or about the government, or about medical research, do you know what's the truth? A recent survey of Americans said 66% of Americans say it's not wrong to tell lies. 66%. Even the man, Dr. Leonard Keeler, who invented the lie detector machine, He's tested over 25,000 different individuals and came to the conclusion that human beings are basically deceptive. Well, with the thought that most Americans think it's not wrong to tell lies, should we be surprised at such a conclusion that he would come up with? How can we be honest in a dishonest world? How do we tell what's the truth? Now, the Bible is very clear. God says lying is wrong. He said it's an intention to mislead people. When you're not telling the truth, you're being deceptive. So how are we to tell the truth? And there are three things that God says about telling the truth. First of all, tell the truth completely. Second, tell the truth consistently. Third, tell the truth lovingly. And so I want us to look at those three elements that God says this is how we're to tell the truth. First, tell the truth completely. In Proverbs 10:10, it says, someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. And in Proverbs, the writer is talking about concealing the truth. When you hold back the truth, even some of the truth, you cause resentment and mistrust and superficiality. In other words, you get into trouble by not saying what you mean and not meaning what you say. If you don't face issues honestly, eventually in a relationship between other people, it's going to explode. You can sweep things under the carpet for a while, but eventually it will explode. If you are not being honest about your feelings in your marriage, in your relationships, you are undermining that relationship. You are undermining your marriage. God says, tell the truth completely. In theory, we all agree that honesty is the best policy if we are following Christ's way. But when it comes down to being honest, and we know that if we're going to be honest with someone and it'll cause a confrontation, we don't think it's such a good idea then. And so instead of telling the truth, we hold back because we don't want to go through that conflict. But God says in the end, people appreciate honesty even if they don't like what you say at the time. So tell the truth completely. But when you tell the truth, you need to do it consistently. Being honest some of the time is not integrity. Even if you're not saying it, you're just holding it back. Eventually, you don't know whether the person's telling the truth or not. So you don't believe them at all when you find someone doesn't always consistently tell the truth. They may be telling you the truth some of the time, but if they're not truthful all the time, how do you know that what they're saying now is the time that is false? So you must tell the truth consistently. In Proverbs 11:3, it says, people who can't be trusted are destroyed by their own dishonesty. They destroy themselves, not just the others that they're harming. Dishonesty destroys. It destroys relationships. It damages character. Tell the truth consistently, the Bible says. Every relationship is built on one word. Trust. Deception destroys that trust. If you are a dishonest person, pretty soon you will have no relationships or you'll have superficial relationships. Nobody can trust you. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And the third thing that the Bible teaches about telling the truth is to tell it lovingly. In Ephesians 4:15, It says, speak the truth in a spirit of love. Don't use the truth as a club, as a weapon, as something that damages. Don't beat people over the head with the truth. How do I know if I'm speaking the truth in love? You need to ask yourself this question. Who am I trying to benefit from what I'm telling? Am I trying to change them so things will be easier on me? Do I want to just tell them the truth so my life is easier? Or am I really sharing this with a friend or sharing this with a loved one because I really care about them and I want them to be the best that they can be? If I'm doing it for their benefit, then that's speaking the truth in love. The truth is for the uplifting of others. The truth sets us free. But when you speak the truth, you must speak it completely, consistently, and lovingly. And if you'll do these three things, the Bible says you will begin to be an honest person, someone that can be trusted. And the problem is, we don't do that. And why don't we do that? Why don't we be the honest, trusting, truthful person that we should be? Matthew 12:34, and what I read this morning as part of our scripture lesson, that teaches us why we don't tell the truth. Jesus said, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Jesus is saying the real problem is not your mouth, and it's not the fact that you use the tongue to hurt and to lie and to deceive, but the problem is not your mouth. The problem is your heart. What's coming out of your mouth, lies are really an indication of what's inside of you. It's not what comes out that matters. It's what's inside of you that matters. Matthew 15:19 says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, fornication, lying, slander. The heart of the issue when it comes to lying is an issue of the heart. This is the problem. If I'm going to become a person of integrity, if I'm going to become an honest person, I have to deal not with my lips only, but I have to deal more with the motivations within me, within my heart that caused me to lie. So why do we lie? Once you understand the motivation behind your lying, then you can deal with the real issue. Lying is not your real problem. It's the symptom of a deeper problem. I find it helpful to categorize the lies that we tell and what motivates us to lie. The different kinds, and there's many of them, but I've only listed five. What are the primary motivations for each of these particular lies that we tell? The first one is the cruel lie. The cruel lie. This is the kind of lie that is intentionally destructive and malicious. You tell it to get revenge. You don't like somebody. They've hurt you. They've said something. They've done something to hurt you. And they've hurt you for some reason, and you're going to get even. You misrepresent them. You make up some lie about them. Politicians do this all the time. You can't turn on the news that you're not hearing this kind of cruelty being said over the airway. You'll even see it in ads. They spend money on ads to put out cruel lies to slander someone. That is what slander is. Slander means when you make up something about somebody that's not true with the intention and purpose of damaging their reputation. The Sadducees did this with Jesus. They just made up charges so they could get rid of him, so they could hang him on a cross, so they could get revenge on him. What is the motive behind that kind of lie, the cruel lie? Jealousy, revenge, hurt, anger, hate, resentment. When I don't like you, and I'm bitter against you, and I'm angry, and I'm hurt, or whatever, and I get resentful, then it will be very easy for me to offer a cruel lie just to get back at you. That's one way. Another way is the cowardly lie. This is the kind of lie you tell to escape consequences. You want to avoid punishment. You're trying to protect yourself so that you prevent pain. Adam told this kind of lie in the Garden of Eden when he sinned. He took it like a man. He blamed his wife for it. When you don't want to get into trouble, and you tell a cowardly lie, what is the motive behind that kind of lie? Fear is the motivation behind a cowardly lie. When you're afraid and don't want something to fall on you that you probably deserve, then you lie about it. A third one is a conceited lie. This is when you lie to impress. You're trying to create an image to cover up low self-esteem, so you brag about yourself. Bragging and lying are first cousins. In other words, they go together. When you exaggerate and prop yourself up, that's a conceited lie. And what's the motive behind that kind of lie? Insecurity. What comes off as pride and ego when you pull away the layers is you're really a very frightened and insecure person. And so you have to lie in order to boost yourself, your image. If I don't think I'm good enough, as I am, then I have to build up my image. And this is the kind of lie we use when we try to hide our hurt. If somebody has hurt us real deeply, you say things like, well, that doesn't bother me, when really it does. It bothers you deeply. That's a conceited lie. Here's the calculated lie. The fourth way that we lie and why we do it. This is the kind of lie used to manipulate other people. We want our way. And when we think, I need to get what I want to get when I want to get it, this is the lie that we use. It can be motivated by greed or selfishness. This lie says, this is what I want, therefore I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it, even if it means to lie. Now, con men use this lie all the time. They will tell you whatever they need to tell you to get you to do what they want you to do, to deceive you. And here's the last way that I want to share with you this morning. It's called the convenient lie. The convenient lie we tell because it takes effort to tell the truth. It takes energy. It takes time to tell the truth. Or you don't want to get involved with something, and so you tell the officer, I didn't see a thing. When really you did, but you don't want to be inconvenienced. You don't want to have to take the time. And what is the motive behind this kind of lie? It's laziness. Laziness is the motivation behind the convenient lie. This is often called diplomacy, that I'm just trying to be diplomatic. This is the kind of lie you tell in social situation. someone invites you to come over and you say, well, you know, I really can't because of so-and-so, which is not true, but you're saying that because it would be inconvenient for you to change your plan. When you don't want to offend anybody, you use a convenient lie. The convenient lie is when you say to someone, you look great today, but you really don't think they do. Jesus said that what's in your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. So the heart of the issue is an issue of the heart. If my heart is filled with resentment, I'm going to find myself telling lies. If my heart is filled with fear and worry, then I'm going to find myself telling cowardly lies. If my heart is filled with insecurity, then I will find myself easily telling conceited lies. If my heart is filled with selfishness, I will end up telling calculated lies to get what I want. If my heart is filled with laziness, I will find myself telling convenient lies so I won't be bothered. So what's the solution, brothers and sisters? The only way to be a person of integrity is to get a new heart. Jesus specializes in heart transplants. He said, let me fill your heart with love instead of selfishness. Jesus said, let me fill your heart with joy and happiness and peace instead of hate. Let me fill your heart with confidence and instead of insecurity. Jesus said, let me fill your heart with energy and power instead of laziness. For Jesus said, I am the truth. And the closer you get to Jesus Christ, the more you're going to love the truth and speak the truth. And the more you're going to live the truth. Because Jesus said, I am the truth. Brothers and sisters, do you need a new heart? Do you need God to do some work in your heart? How would you get that new heart? Well, in the first place, the beginning of honesty is the confession that you don't have a good heart. To have a good heart is the beginning, is to be honest, the confession of dishonesty in your heart. That's the starting point. If you really say, I want to be a person of God, I want to be a person of integrity, I want to be like Jesus, you start with first saying, God, I admit it. My heart needs your work in it. I have not always been truthful. And you ask Christ to forgive you and to give you the power to change and to say, Lord, I want you to put a new heart in me. And God will do that. God can do that today. Jesus can change your heart today. He can change it now. He will begin to replace the deception in your heart with truth as you begin to let Christ more and more have control of your life, as you surrender more and more to Christ. You do that by making a choice and saying, God, help me to be more interested in character than in reputation. Reputation is what other people think of you. Character is what you really are. Reputation is what you want everybody to believe about you. Character is what is impressed by God upon you. Character is what lasts for eternity. Character is what changes you. When you say, God, I'm more interested in character than reputation, then you'll tell the truth even if it's not good for your reputation. Because you know in the long run, what is good for you is to follow Jesus Christ and to do what He has said and to do what He has put into your heart. You ask God to help you put a new heart inside of you, and He will. That is a promise. And if you need that today, let Him do that for you now. Would you pray with me? Oh, loving God, we thank You for giving us the truth. And God, we want to know the truth because we need to know Jesus. That is how we know the truth. When we come to surrender fully and know Jesus, then we know the truth. I admit that I have not always told the truth in the past. And so, God, we come today to put our trust in Jesus Christ. We want to have Him put a new heart in us. And so from this day forward, we want to begin living a life of integrity and honesty and just letting Jesus have our life. We want to be honest and live like God is calling us to live by living the truth, living His truth. Oh Lord, we want Jesus to forgive us, to change our heart, and we want to follow Him the rest of our life. And so we surrender to You now, Lord. We come to You, Lord. We give our all to You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for making my heart whole again. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.